You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. I thank you for tuning in, and we want to just start and just greet you and say, you know, blessings. God bless you. Amen. I pray that you had a great week and things went well. Amen. Hallelujah. Because guess what? We get to declare and decree and speak things into existence. Amen. And I find myself sometimes having to make it fun. Amen. I can't take myself too serious. Hallelujah. And that I have to have joy in what I'm doing. I'm like, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is so, so good. We want to talk today about, reasons why people lose trust in God, or they might not attend church. And so we want to just speak life into those things. And we just want to be open and kind of just look at it. Hopefully you might be sitting in one of these seats and we're able to challenge you, encourage you, and just let you know, hey, we've been there. We've had some of these feelings and some of these thoughts. Amen. But we have to work them out. And whatever we do, we can't stop questioning, asking questions, right? Well, because, I don't know, I look at it, if I'm on a desert island, and I've been there, let's say you've been there for a while, and you've kind of losing hope, but you all of a sudden hear an aircraft. I mean, are you going to be, like, chilled about it? Are you going to really be aggressive, like trying to get the attention of that aircraft? You're going to use whatever possible. You're going to try to, whether it's screaming, waving your arms, setting a fire. Maybe you put SOS on the beach. You know, we've seen the movies. But whatever you do, you're going to try to get the attention of that aircraft. And I don't know, as we're sitting here on earth, we're trying to get the attention of the Lord. Amen. Whether we use praise and prayer, hallelujah, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. But whatever we do, we don't want to stay stuck. We don't want to stay frustrated. And we definitely don't want to get a mindset where we just give up, you know, altogether, where we stop trying, right? Because whether we're in the church or out of the church, we still have problems. I've noticed people who don't believe in God, they still have problems. So we're not escaping problems. I used to think that, wow, when I came to the Lord, things would be easy. And I'm not saying that God doesn't make things easy, but what I'm saying is we still go through, but God is in it. He's with us. Amen. He didn't abandon us. He didn't run off. And we got to see that. I mean, here's somebody who gave their life for you and for me. And so why would he run off now? Like, right? Why would he abandon us now? But I believe sometimes the world view and the enemy often tries to make us isolate from God. He wants to isolate us, right? Because if you can isolate a person, then you can basically attack until they don't have any allies. They're by themselves. And it's hard to fight by yourself. Would you rather go to battle with 500 people, you know what I'm saying, or one person? You know, of course, the more we assume we'll be able to be conquerors. But one of the things that I find that people go through is cause them to not trust God or attend churches, their personal experiences, you know, negative experiences sometimes, or some trauma, or past situations can lead people to lose faith in God, you know, faith in organized religion, We become disillusioned sometimes about the tactics that various people use. But, you know, if you've run into a pastor, if you've gone to a church, they're leading their church according to how they feel God has put it on their heart. Amen. It's like you can't get mad at Reebok. That's how they wanted to make the shoe, design the shoe, Nike. There's so many. I saw a sneaker called Hookah. I was like, oh, I didn't even know. I never heard of it. You know, I saw it on a billboard. There's so many brands of shoes and sneakers, New Balance. Then if you are a runner, they have running shoes. So there's so many shoes. There's so many things. And so they are making those shoes, that church, according to the plan that God gave them. Amen. Now, either we can work with that vision, work with that plan. Amen. Or you have to find a place that sort of is in alignment to how you think and believe and how you operate and move. Or maybe God's calling you or leading you to start a ministry. So I don't know. We're just throwing out some questions. One thing about life is we get to ask questions. Amen. And trust that God is going to answer. Amen. Us. Amen. Other things that come to mind is doubts. I mean, people are so deep and so philosophical and, you know, they're intellectual, you know, and so they can intellectualize, God and his teachings right out of the window. Amen. Some people are so deep, like, it's like, well, I just need to know how to hold on, you know. I may not know how to break down everything, but you know, the longer you're in church, of course, you'll get to that place where you can, look up the Hebrew words and see what the meaning was then and stuff. But right now, I think people are trying to hold on and how to make it and how to cause their faith to grow and to have some joy and some peace at night and to be able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and to not allow their past to come and overtake them and to be able to not be tricked by the enemy. Amen. And fall for some of those schemes. I think people need strategies and goals, how to make it day to day. Hallelujah. And I love the word of God because it's so many examples. I mean, there's so many people who you could find your situation or scenario in some character in the word of God. Amen. And so what we do is it brings comfort to be like, wow. If God could do that for Sarah, if he could do that for Rahab, if he could do that for Esther, if he could do that for, and we can go on and on and on. And I mean, I love it. You can look at the pros of situations and the cons of situations. We look at Lot's wife, how she looked back and dried up in a pillar of salt. And we can bring that in alignment to our life. Like, what are we looking back on our old situations, our sin life, and we're envying and, you know what I'm saying? We're looking back with, wow, like we're longing for it, not longing for the future of what God is going to do. You know, it's like, wow, let's say the average human lives to, you know, 80, you know, 80 years, 80 years. If I think about that number, I mean, I'm, you know, I guess I was going to tell my age, but nevertheless, it's like, if that be the case, then, you know, we don't have a lot of time. And what we want to do with our time, we got to make it count. I think as I age and get older, I become more aware. Like, you don't want a lot of nonsense, bickering and arguing and over simple matters. I mean, we should easily be able to discern when conflict comes in so readily that God is not the author of confusion. And just knowing that in this confusion in your home, you want to sit everybody down and be like, whoa, why are we stepping on each other? Like, why are we pulling each other down and not encouraging everyone to be at their highest and their best? Wouldn't that make the world a better place? And so we find that people doubt, you know? They doubt the existence of God. They doubt the word of God. But tell me, what book could you read that man didn't write, right? And so God used the Bible. He used the people of God. He used the Holy Spirit to share these stories that can uplift and encourage, give us hope and possibilities. Whether you're Jonah and running away, God said, the Bible said that God prepared a large fish. So he knew Jonah was disobedient. He knew Jonah wasn't trying to hear him out. But guess what? He had prepared something for Jonah. Amen. And did Jonah not accomplish what God wanted him to do? And so God is sovereign. I believe that God is going to get out of us. Amen. Especially when we're his, you know. And so God's will is going to be done. I like the fact that I can't mess it up. That even when I mess it up, he uses that. Now, I don't want to get in a habit of just disobeying God, but I thank God that he's used the mishaps in my life to make me stronger, to make me able to encourage other people, to be able to get on this line and be able to say, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Hallelujah. I pray God send somebody to lift your left and your right arm up and to help you stand another day until you realize, amen, that it is a process. Just like if I was to take a seed, whether it be corn or asparagus or whatever seed, and you plant that, it's going to take a minute, but know that it's going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a harvest. Amen. And another, I think, something that that keeps people is they observe other people's hypocrisy and unethical behavior. And so they look at those things or those misrepresentations of the gospel. But people are human. But there have been people who have misrepresented the intentions of God and the gospel. And they look at those things and they say, I don't want it. I don't want to be like that. Amen. But listen, that God uses people. That don't blame God for how people chose, amen, to represent him. So the question would be, what would you do different if you were in those shoes? And then maybe you should begin to represent. Hallelujah. But don't leave church and religion and amen, and reading the word of God and trying to get to know who God is because of those things. Yeah. And then some people are skeptical of the very existence of God. You know, I remember when I first came to the Lord, it's like, I mean, you got to explain to me about the dinosaurs. And what about Mary, you know, the virgin mother of God? You know, so who bore Jesus? I mean, those things can be tricky if we try to look at it from our natural perspective or chronological perspective. And sometimes we have to have faith to believe in this gospel and in this message. And I pray that God would open your eyes, that you would see. Amen. And so, amen. People sometimes feel, okay, here's the thing, that sometimes we try to use our logical reasoning, right, to kind of figure out, or we try to use our flesh to figure out spiritual things. And it can't be done. It's almost like trying to read somebody's love letter that wasn't written to you. You're trying to, like, you don't understand the whole thing because it wasn't for you. And so, but when you become, amen, allow the Lord in your heart, then he begins to open up your awareness and your mind and your heart, and he'll give you clarity and understanding. Amen. I always pray for God's revelation of his word. Amen. That sometimes I can read it and I'll have a surface understanding. But we want God to give us the revelation Father, what did you intend when you wrote this? What is it that you want to convey? What should be my takeaway from this scripture? What do I need to apply to my life that it can be transformed from the inside out? And so those are the questions. Don't stop asking questions. God is not intimidated by your questions. Find a leader. Find someone who can answer them. I may not be able to answer all questions, amen, but we'll just keep searching. Hallelujah. And I know sometimes when I read the word and I'm like, wow, what does that mean? I mean, normally before the end of day, I could be walking, doing something, and the Lord will drop in my spirit a revelation, a scenario, or an example, amen, that gives enlightenment to what I just read and helps me to have an understanding, you know. Something else that keeps people from trusting God and being able to trust the church is how social norms and things, sometimes our culture, right? And so I remember I was sitting in Bible study and the pastor was kind of talking about, you know, the times and how, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then think about now. And it's like, just we have to understand what are the cultures, what are the times, what were the situations and beliefs, the values of that day and of that time. So that now we're in the 20th century, and so, you know, we don't have the same. We don't have to go to the well. We can just run water from the tub. We don't have to, you know. And so food is of abundance, and, you know, so we don't have those same cultural situations or traditions. Amen. And so it can look confusing sometimes, or people might think that the Bible is hypocritical. Hallelujah. And so we have to keep those things in mind. You know, so I guess what I'm basically saying is that don't distance yourself, you know, because things don't jive the first time, or because you like feel like, well, look how what they're doing. Well, please don't base your whole salvation and your walk with God based upon what somebody else is doing, right? Because it doesn't mean what they're doing is right. Just because of a bunch of people are doing something doesn't mean it's right, even though they try to make it seem right. So you still, you know, have to use your discernment. You still, amen, have to begin to, you know, keep your eyes on the one who said he was perfect. Amen. Be holy, for I'm holy. So that's where we want to keep our eyes on. We know man isn't holy. Amen. But we're working out our salvation and we're working it out. Amen. And sometimes people have personal beliefs or values that begin to conflict with the teachings of practices, of religion or organized religion. And so we want to be able to, evaluate that as well. You know, I find that a lot of times we get our values and things from when we a childhood or things that we've watched or somebody that we've built relationship or trusted and whatever they might believe, you know. So just put it on the altar and ask God to continue to open up your eyes and to show you. Sometimes people use fear or anger or resentment or disillusionment. Those things sometimes can influence people's decision. And it's a lot of things, you know, psychological factors that keep us from wanting to trust the Lord. You know, hearken unto me, he said, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know, what are some of the lifestyle choices? Like sometimes people think when I come to the Lord, I'm going to have to give up this. I'm going to have to give up that, you know. And then when Or the other flip side is you don't see people giving those things up. And you say, oh, they're in the church and they're drinking. They're going out to the club. You know, they're a hypocrite. You know, I get it. But we have to let God work that out in them. We don't want to manipulate people or control people. We know drinking drunk is not good, right? However, amen. That might not be a good example. Let's be real. Sometimes you have to just take the advice that's given. We don't drive drunk, right? But as for salvation, sometimes, you know, you might can't convince people of certain sins or certain things that they're doing. And so we have to just trust God that he's going to open up their hearts, that he's going to bring the conviction. Amen. All we can do is pray, talk to them about it, pray about it. Amen. And God is going to give the increase. Some plant, some water, but God's going to give the increase. And that we stand on, right? We trust that. We trust that God is going to do what he said. But, you know, who are you observing? Who are you, you know, looking at? Take your eyes off people. The Bible tells us, hey, don't fear that can take the body, but fear that could take the body and the soul. And so mankind cannot keep you, amen, from having eternal life or relationship with God. However, we want to trust the Lord. Amen. So this is really a great topic, and it's a great conversation in terms of, you know, someone who might be wrestling with, you know, where they're located, their faith, being able to, you know, lay aside some things and allow God. You know, I'm only saying this, let go and let God show you. All you have to do is just simply say, God, I don't understand some things. I'm opening myself so that you can reveal to me what it is. And God will do it. He'll do it every time. Oh, boy, I remember they said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And that's what we sit here and we do. That's what we think about. We think about God's timing is perfect, right? And even if you would look back at prior situations and you would say, hey, you know, I remember when I went through this and I was devastated. I mean, like, didn't think I was going to make it. And when time passes, years pass it, it's like you think of a song that says, he did it for my good. God did it for my good. Right? And so, because it did something. It built something, you know? You now have that, you have that shared experience between you and the Lord that the enemy can't take away. That's relationship. And that's what we're working on. We're working on relationship with God. So I remember Dottie Peoples used to sing that song, oh, he did it for my good. I'm going to, yep. And so the words, I've had trials and tribulations, unexpected situations, living here below. I've had friends to turn their backs on me and leave me standing in the cold. I've been hurt in the church as I attempt to do God's work. by people who call themselves saints. And so I'm going to just paraphrase. And so many times I felt like giving up, but the Spirit of the Lord said, you can't. And so, you know, the Lord, he put you through a lot of things that you might can't understand. And for everything he allows, there's a reason. And so, in other words, the devil isn't going to get no glory from this, you know. And so everywhere, testimony, you're going to tell what God has done in your life and how he fixed it. Because God has a way of turning things around. And then she goes on, like, he did it for my good. He meant it for my good. God meant it for my good. He brought me out without a doubt, and I knew that he would. Now I have no defeat. I'm strong when I'm weak, and God gave me a song, and I'll continue to sing on. Remember, what the devil has meant for bad, what he's meant for your destruction, God will turn it around for your good. That's powerful. That's a miracle. I mean, the gossip, the lies, the tears in our eyes, but it all worked out, right? It all worked out for our good. And so that's the thing. Is that the miracle? Is that the supernatural work there? Amen. And so we got to give God the glory. We've got to tell God thank you anyway, even though it doesn't make sense. We just say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we're gonna close. But I want us to just lift our hands and just begin to praise the Lord and to give him thanks. If you're not struggling, but you know someone who's struggling about maybe giving their life to the Lord or attending an organized church, you know, I just pray that, first of all, that we lift them up in prayer until God says confront and share and talk. Amen. Keep inviting. Amen. The power, we're the temple. Amen. But we go and we gather to build strength, to build encouragement. Amen. It's almost like a car. Every Sunday we get to refuel for the road that we have for that week. And so don't avoid getting a refill or a checkup. It used to be when you could ride your car into the gas station and they would look for your oil and lift up the hood and check your tires and your windshield wipers, make sure you had fluids. And, you know, and so that's what Sunday is. It's an overhaul so that we can continue our journey. You've been listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Peace and blessings. Amen. And find you a good church home that you can ask lots of questions and that you can feel like you're being poured into. Have a great day.